We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm watching through the glass here in the other studio, and my studio producer, Ian Hoke, is stretching out. He's in serious pain today because he doesn't do it often, but yesterday he did yoga. I got to get into yoga because that would be like the ultimate exercise for me, but I haven't gone there yet. Yeah, and I'm so afraid to do it because it's like, who wants to go to yoga class for the first time? You know, because everybody knows what they're doing and you're going to be there not knowing what you're doing. And I just would feel like a, you know, very uncoordinated person being in yoga class for the first time. But at some point I have to get myself to do that because it would be a great exercise. Before we get back into the show, once again, I want to thank everybody at the World War II Museum, especially Erica Jensen. Last night was the finals of the summer series of the Stage Door Canteen Idol Competition. Unbelievable singers. And once again, and they've asked me the last few years in a row to be a judge, and I was a judge again last night. Brittany Williams was the winner. And she did a phenomenal job. And I got to tell you, everybody who performed last night was excellent. And it's my annual visit with people like Leah Chase, who sits to my right, Lena Prima, who sits to my left, the daughter of Louis Prima. And Dennis Asaf was the other judge from the Jefferson Parish Performing Arts Center. And it's just, it's so great to see them every year. And I wish I saw them more often. Leah Chase and Lena are just so nice. And Leah, I had a chance to talk to her about her mom recently passing away. And I told her that I really enjoyed talking about her mom and what she meant to New Orleans on my show. And she said, yeah, I'll listen to the show on a regular basis. So anyway, it was just, it's a great event. And as I mentioned earlier, there's something about being there. I allow myself to go back in time. Because the outfits, from the hats to the shoes, everything, it really is reminiscent of the 1940s. And the songs that these people sing are from the 1940s, and these are young singers. And what they're doing is they're bringing back the memory at the Stage Door Canteen at the World War II Museum. They're bringing back the idea of the Stage Door, the canteens that opened up in New York City in 1942. You know, Pearl Harbor bombed in 41, canteens open up in 42. And it really brings back that feeling of soldiers coming into a canteen to just get a break from the tension of either going to war or just coming back from war. And it really does, if you allow yourself to just go back in time, it really does bring back that that thought. Not that I lived through that, but it just brings back that time in America. What you've read about it, you've heard about it. And anyways, it really was a great time. So I always enjoy doing that every year. Here is a text, and I love this audience. If you're just tuning in, we were talking last hour about the people who are preparing for the end of the world. They're called preppers. They're also called survivalists. And I call them wackos because I just think it's a little wacky to prepare the way some people are preparing for the end of the world. Now, back in the 60s, growing up with the threat of nuclear war, 60s and 70s, actually, and into the 80s, but especially in the 60s and 70s, there really was a fear that there could be a nuclear war at any minute. And, you know, we had drills in school, what to do if the bomb drops, like, you know, getting under your desk is going to somehow save you, which was absurd. And, if you got in line, you couldn't talk. Like what the radiation can't get to me if I don't talk? Is that the deal? I couldn't figure that out. And there were a couple of people in my neighborhood who had bomb shelters. Here's a text that says, "The end of the world will happen when I die. The end of the world will be when you die. Keep doing a good job." That's Rusty. Rusty, thanks for that. That is a good point. I mean, you know, my world will end when I die. Your world will end when you die. And then we were talking about Y2K and all the people that were preparing for the end of the world. This text says, "I drank so much in the quarter for Y2K, I was praying the end of the world would happen the next morning." You know, that does happen. I mean, we've all had hangovers to the point where we thought, you know, I'm ready for the world to end because I can't keep living like this. Here's a text that says, I think I recall the world coming to an end a few years ago when some calendar was ending, the Mayan calendar. That was another time that people were preparing for the end of the world. And here is a text that says, screw smoking a joint. If it's the end of the world, I'm dropping some blotter acid. Well, you know, I mean, at that point, I mean, I guess you can just go for it. We also talked about NOPD making an arrest in the sucker-punching attack on comedian actor Andy Dick standing outside of a New Orleans nightclub. In fact, the Scoot Report Facebook post is on our live Facebook page. It's on our Facebook page now live. That conversation is continuing to go on, and that is part of the conversation. So this guy, he's a 46-year-old, and he's white. And, you know, the stereotype of the people who were involved in that sucker punch game seem to be African-American males. And so this is a 46-year-old white male who, according to the video, it looks like he in a very calculated way, he puts down his drink and he walks kind of through the crowd and punches Andy Dick, knocking him to the ground, cold cocked him. And he went to the hospital. He was bleeding. There's one report that he was unconscious for 20 minutes, which is a long time to be unconscious. And he was in the hospital for 2 days, released, and then flew back to L.A. But the guy arrested is David Hale, 46 years old. And he says that, this is according to a NOLA.com report, he says that Andy Dick grabbed his genitals, I guess, in the show. And so this was retaliation for grabbing his genitals. I don't know. And if somebody grabbed your genitals, would your instinct to be to punch him right there and not wait till later? I don't know. I mean, you know, people act differently when it comes to different things. So I've never been in that situation. So I guess I can't respond. But the guy did it. He's been arrested by NOPD. So thanks to everybody for the tips. Also, in the state of Louisiana, 23%, and this is one of the highest percentages in the country, 23% of the people in Louisiana believe that abortion should not be allowed in the case of rape and incest. Shouldn't be allowed in any case, not even in the case of rape and incest. And Republican Congressman Steve King from Iowa said something earlier today in defense of his opposition to allowing rape in the case of allowing abortions in the case of rape and incest. He doubled down on his opposition to that by saying one of the most outrageous things I have ever heard concerning abortion. Now, Congressman King, to me, is a right-wing wacko. He's out there, and he does not represent Republicans. He does not represent all conservatives either. Steve King said that rape and incest that lead to pregnancy is important to sustaining the human population. I mean, that's so outrageous. I can't even laugh at it because it's so seriously demented. And this is coming from the brain of a man elected to Congress. And he's not new. So the people in his district in Iowa have elected this guy time and time again. So there's a whole swath of the population in Iowa that supports this guy. It's just crazy. If you work for the federal government, should you be allowed to criticize the president? Should you be allowed to criticize other politicians? The largest union of federal workers is suing the U.S. government in an effort to end the restriction of federal employees from criticizing the president or other politicians, claiming that it restricts their freedom of speech. Now, this should not be just about President Trump. We should broaden this and realize that this is about any president. And those of you who think, no, they should not criticize President Trump, would you have been in favor of federal employees not being allowed to criticize Barack Obama when he was president? Because at some point, in all probability, and I have to say that, in all probability, President Trump's not going to be president at some point. And even if he wins re-election, maybe after that. But at some point, he's not going to be president. And a Democrat may actually be in that position, or somebody else. So, in theory, are you in favor of federal employees being allowed to criticize a sitting president? To me, I think that's freedom of speech. Now, maybe not at work. You know, you don't do it at work because you're working for the government. But outside of work, on social media, what's the argument to restrict federal employees from being critical of President Trump or any president? But I mean, President Trump is the president now, so this is the focus of this debate. But it seems to me that government employees should have the right to criticize a president and other employees. How do you feel? If you want to join us with a comment about anything we're talking about, our number is 260-1870, area code 504, 260-1870, text 870-870. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. I think it's a case of freedom of speech. Government workers should have the right to criticize a sitting president, and right now that's President Trump. This is not support of attacking President Trump. This is support of federal employees having the right to criticize a sitting president or other political candidates. I mean, why not? The largest federal union of federal employees is suing the U.S. government in an effort to end the restriction of federal employees criticizing a president, claiming it restricts their freedom of speech. And I agree with that. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, I wonder if the Russians love their children too. Sting. That was a great song. The song is titled Russians. But this was a song in the 80s by Sting. And this was one of the common denominators that we had with the Russians during the Cold War. You see, the problem with terrorists is they don't care about dying. They're proud to die for their cause. And it doesn't mean that Americans are not proud to die for their cause, but we try not to die. And I think it was Patton who says the goal in war is to not die for your country. The goal is to make the other SOB die for his country. So there are people willing to die for America, but that shouldn't be the goal. Well, with terrorists, you can't negotiate with them when life is not on the table. But the one thing that we had in common with the Russians is neither one of us wanted to die. And Sting wrote this song about that. I hope the Russians love their children too, because if they love their children too, then we're not going to have a nuclear war. All right, if you've got a comment, 260-1870, text 870-870 from Marrero. Carl, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how are you?
I'm good.
I believe in freedom of speech, but I also believe that an employer has the right to filter what people say at work.
And yeah, so, I get that argument. What about outside? I mean, I don't think federal employees should criticize the president in their official capacity of their job, but they should be free to do it outside of work.
Well, I totally agree with you on that. Actually, the president really has nothing to do with it because he's not their employer. They have the right to criticize anything at home, but it's really not that big of a deal because the president isn't the employer. It's the federal government. They're the ones who mandate things. So if you want to criticize the president or senator, I think that's reasonable.
Well, I understand that argument, Carl. But this union of federal employees is saying, hey, you know, wait a minute. This is an infringement of freedom of speech. So, look, I understand this point. I mean, employers, I don't like it, but employers have a right to restrict your speech. And if you want to work there, now I don't know if an employer, this would be a really interesting topic. Would an employer have the right to suddenly take away your freedom of speech? I mean, if you went to work at a place and you knew you couldn't do certain things, that's one thing. But if you went to work for a company and suddenly they told you, okay, you can no longer say this about any politician or any president, that might be a little different. I just don't think that it's a big deal to let people express their opinion about a president. But yet, this is very personal for a lot of people because they look at it as, should we allow federal employees to criticize President Trump? But really, the issue is much bigger than that because it's about any sitting president. From the West Bank, Chris, welcome.
All right, Scoot, I got a poem for your listeners out there.
Okay.
It's about teenage pregnancy. All right. When a teenage girl has a reputation and a teenage boy has determination, that gives them an invitation to the Pediatric Association. Before education made its destination, there will come the offspring of the younger generation. So to the adults, let's give our minds an evaluation to see how to stop this senseless situation of children practicing unneeded multiplication. Teenage pregnancy is at an all-time high, and abortion is heavily advertised. We must reason why. Listen to the protesters' cry. We must get our teens to realize they can change the nation's stride and bring back to us our lost pride. So to the poor, the rich, and middle class, we must make sure teenage pregnancy is gone at last.
Man, Chris, I think we could have somebody set that to put to some rap music, and that could be a rap song. It was very, very, right. Very well written and a nice message, Chris.
Thank you, and right. See what your listeners think about it.
All right, appreciate the call. Yeah, you can call up and talk about that. 260-1870, text is 870-870. Here's an update on our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. Should government employees have the right to criticize any sitting president? 55% say yes. 45% say no. And you can give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. I mean, already some people at the station have, I'm already seeing visual reaction to the poem that guy just read, Chris's poem. All right, if you want to join us, 260-1870, text 870-870. More of your comments are coming up. Even though a lot has been said about the suicide of Jeffrey Epstein, I still think that to silence him was a great motivation for a lot of people, and I still think it's possible that he was murdered. And I think more should be done to expose the people who he helped have sex with underage girls and not let this die with him. So hopefully all of that is revealed, and some people may not have wanted that to come out, thinking that silencing him, killing him, would be the best way to keep their names out of the news. I'm Scoot. Hang on. We'll be right back on WWL. Interesting thing happened on this day in 1974. This song was awarded a gold record. This is Paul Anka. Listen to the lyrics. Now, 1974. This was during the Women's Lib movement. I mean, Women's Lib was just really cranking up. Campaigns to pass the Equal Rights Amendment were really big. So Paul Anka comes out with his song, You're Having My Baby, and feminists complain because the word my should have been our. And, you know, I get it. And this is one of the things that we've had to correct over time. And how many times does somebody tell you, we're pregnant? And it will be a guy or a girl saying, we're pregnant. Because they're a couple. And it does take two. And in many cases, a lot of people both care about the child that they have created and are bringing into the world. So it was interesting, but this is one of the things that feminists really did bring to our attention. Having my baby, I mean, that's a really, you could say that, I guess you can support saying that, but there's nothing wrong with thinking we're having our baby. So anyway, that was an interesting thing, part of the Women's Liberation Movement back in the 70s. Here's an update on our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. Should government employees have the right to criticize a sitting president? 50% say no, and 50% say yes. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. Here's a text that says, let's see, what text? I'm going to get to this text for you. I'm getting a lot of texts about Andy Dick getting cold-cocked and a lot of comments that I can't really read on the air. I love your sense of humor. Love you guys. I read them, but I can't read them on the air. And it's about his name and what he allegedly grabbed, and that's as far as I can go. Here is a text that wants to know if I would feel the same about this topic of freedom of speech for federal employees if Barack Obama was president. Why wouldn't I? From Metairie, Jim, you're on WWL.
Hello, Scoot.
Hey, Jim.
I'm a federal employee myself. Would want to mention anytime we have a lawsuit, we're never quite sure what the courts are going to decide. and quite often there are unintended consequences. And with this lawsuit about free speech for federal employees, my concern would be, what impact would there be on uniformed members of our military, and whether what their rights would be after such a lawsuit was decided. I would expect there would be people who would file friend of the court brief on that subject. So I'm not calling with an opinion. Yeah. I'm calling with a concern. Thank you.
All right, Jim, I appreciate that. You know, I mean, is it different? Is it different for our military personnel to criticize the president, who is the commander in chief? Is that different from federal employees? I'm gonna have to think about that. I do think federal employees have a right to be critical, but what about our military, paid by the government? There have been many people in the military who have criticized sitting presidents, including this president, but other presidents as well. You know, I'm kind of bothered by, well, I'm not really bothered by, but it's very typical that, you know, people are so quick to jump to conclusions about, well, I'm for this freedom of speech because Trump is president. No, I'm not. In fact, I was very clear about that from the very beginning. This is not about President Trump. This is about any sitting president. That's the way we have worded our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. Should government employees have the right to criticize any sitting president? Not President Trump, but any sitting president. So, yeah, I would feel the same way if it was Barack Obama as president. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, area code 504, 260-1870. Our text is 870-870. Should an F-bomb laced verbal attack in retaliation against a public insult made by an individual, does that make you unworthy of owning a gun? You know, this was a question that came up on the show yesterday. I wrote a blog about this. It's on the Scoot page on our website. It's titled Trump Comments on CNN Host's F-Bomb Attack. And as I said yesterday, and as I say in the blog for the website, I do not agree with President Trump. CNN host Chris Cuomo should not be seen as somebody who is mentally unstable when it comes to having a gun in his hand, because we have all gone on these profanity-laced moments. I mean, how many times do you do that when you're in the car? I mean, you may do that several times today. You may have already done it several times today. So I don't think that's a big deal. But I do, as I said yesterday, I do disagree with Chris Cuomo, who said calling him Fredo, because Chris Cuomo's an Italian, and Fredo was the loser brother in The Godfather, calling him Fredo was equivalent to using the N-word. And I just think the N-word carries such deep, dark history with it that I don't see that as equally derogatory to referencing a character from a fictional movie. All right, I'll get back to more of your texts. And if you do want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870. Text is 870-870. We're talking about federal employees. Should they have the right to freedom of speech when it comes to criticizing the president? In this case, it's President Trump, but I'm talking about any president. Sometimes you just have to declare that something is not freedom of speech or it violates freedom of speech, and you got to stand up for your rights. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. Not if you are a Fed employee, you are not free to criticize the president. You're not free to criticize other politicians. And the largest union of federal workers is suing the U.S. government in an effort to stop that restriction so federal employees could criticize the president and other politicians. You know, I don't think that should happen at work in their capacity as a federal employee, but what about outside of work? Now, maybe you can argue that the government has a right to do that, but is that the right thing to do? It seems to me that that is a blatant infringement on freedom of speech. Here's an update on our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. Should government employees have that right to criticize a sitting president? 53% say yes and 47% say no. Give us your opinion at WWL.com. Here's a text that says, Scoot, they have a theory that we all died in 2012, and this is alt-reality. Okay, whatever. I mean, I'm having a good time. Here's a text that says, you, and U is capitalized, all in caps. You would have to bring up the man's race in the Andy Dick incident. You really are a piece of blank, Scoot. It's that simple. No, I suggest that really you are the POS, because here's the reason I bring that up. It's because so many people are so quick to stereotype young black males that when something happens, and a lot of people have been sucker punched, and the stereotypical image that I remember from the news is black males sucker punching people walking down the street. So just to be fair, I point out that in this case, it was a white guy. And if you're white, that shouldn't offend you. If it's not you and you don't do it, don't worry about it. But that really is kind of a retaliation or a way of actually balancing things out for those who are so quick to just stereotype one race or just stereotype one group of people when their group can also be guilty of stuff. From Raceland, Lainey, you're on WWL.
Hi, I just had a quick comment about the federal employee's right to criticize the president or other members of government.
Yes.
So, as far as I understand, that the First Amendment was not written to exclude any particular group. So to say that those people don't have that right, I think would be undermining the spirit of the law.
Technically, I understand. Yeah. They have a right to do it, but not if they work for the government.
However, I would say that as far as it would affect their capacity to do their job, so to criticize someone for something that happened or to have an opinion about something and make that public, I think that they should have the right to do that. Now, if they're doing something to the point where it's detrimental to their job duties, they're unable to perform their job because it crossed over that line, that would be different.
But the idea that every federal employee is going to agree with and like every sitting president is so unrealistic. I mean, there would be droves of people leaving the government if they didn't agree with the president who was just elected, and people can't just leave their jobs and necessarily find another job right away. So it seems to me that as long as you do your job, you should be able to do your job, even if you don't like the president.
Absolutely. And I also think you should be able to express that you don't like the president. Would you agree?
I'm sorry. Tell me that again.
I feel like you should be able to express that you don't like the president.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm arguing. That's what I'm standing up for, is that I think federal employees do have that right on their personal time. I don't think they should do it in the capacity of their job as federal employees. But I think they should have a right on their social media to say they don't like the president. And I say this, and this is not about Trump. This is about any sitting president. So those people who say, no, the president should not be criticized by federal employees, I wonder if they would have felt the same way if this came up when Barack Obama was president. Because I'm sure a lot of people would have argued, hey, you want to criticize the president? You should have that right.
Absolutely. I mean, what about when Bill Clinton was president? Lots of people were criticizing him all across the board. You have the right to do that, but not as far as it affects your job as a government employee.
Well, if it affects your job, Lainey, I think you're right. Whole different story. I appreciate the call. Here's a text that says, Scoot, the NOPD got the thug who punched Andy Dick, right? Call him what he is. Well, I did. I've called him a thug. Did that earlier. I know you can't listen to the entire show all the time, but I mean, already did. And on this show, I can't talk about anybody else in the media, but on this show, thug has nothing to do with race. Also, the stock market went down 800 points. And there's talk of the R word, recession. The question is, if that happens, what role will recession play in the 2020 election? That's going to be interesting to watch. Happy birthday today to David Crosby of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. David Crosby, 78 years old today. I'm Scoot. We're coming back on WWL. Hey, man, that's what that guy did to Andy Dick standing outside of the nightclub in the Quarter. And Andy Dick went down. I have to be careful how I read this text, but I'll try to share this with you. I'm going to have to put in some blanks here. Scoot, let me get this straight. Supposedly, Andy Dick grabbed the blank of someone who then acted like a blank. Yeah, I mean, that would really be one way to put it. I wrote a blog about this. It's on our website at WWL.com. I'll post it after the show on the SOTA Facebook page, but it's about the cold cocking of Andy Dick. And, you know, they got this guy, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. Just a shame that people feel the need to just go out and, you know, punch somebody like that. Sports Talk is coming up next with Christian Garrick and Bobby Hebert, and Sean Payton will be talking about, they'll be talking about Sean Payton and Drew Brees. And the Saints traveled today to the West Coast. Oh, my God, they've got to love the weather change because it has been so brutal here. So they'll be practicing with the Chargers, and you'll hear more about that coming up next in Sports Talk. Don't forget about the official Houdat Nation Rally and Music Festival, Friday, September the 6th, Saturday the 7th, and Sunday the 8th. Good music, good food, good time for the family on the grounds of the Jefferson Performing Arts Center in Metairie. The Guess Who, the Family Stone, Cowboy Mouth, the Top Cats, the list goes on. Friday night there will be a tribute to those great local artists we lost recently. Dr. John, Art Neville, Alan Toussaint, and Fats Domino. And Irma Thomas and Deacon John will be part of that. The official Houdat Rally and Music Fest is presented by Bud Light. For information, just go to the website houdatnationevents.com. And we've got all the information there. Pelican tickets went on sale today at 3 o'clock, and that is going to be a very hot item this year. Tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, which was a moment that it really was sort of a microcosm of a youth movement. It was 1969 when that concert took place, and there was chaos. There was love. About 500,000 people were there, which is just amazing. And it wasn't long after that, and I was at this festival. The New Orleans Pop Festival was in Gonzales, I think technically Sorrento, Labor Day weekend, 1969. And many of the groups at Woodstock were there. And we'll talk about that when we get closer to Labor Day. But tomorrow we'll be remembering Woodstock, and we'll talk about what it means. And for those of you who are millennials, Gen X, Gen Y, you can join us as well. We'll just get into talking about the significance of Woodstock. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producer, Tom Manassas, and our studio producer, Ian Hoke. Thank you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.